Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? With you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. In his hand I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem you from all their sins. Amen.
It was good to read that psalm a couple of times, though, wasn't it, Maureen? I enjoyed it. Now, okay, what did we talk about last week? Okay, very good. 5 points. For another 5 points, what particular aspect of grace did we talk about? Anybody? Well, we mentioned what it was, yes, but we did talk about a particular type of grace, didn't we? Well, I'll just give you the same sermon as I gave last week then, will I? Well, I'll be fast. We talked about saving grace. What's saving grace? Thank you. Thank you, Lorna. Forgiveness of sin. Saving grace, what spoke to me last week was saving grace is someone paying the price for my sin. And last week I said to you, it's so easy, and I used to just think my sins were pushed aside and everything was fine. They weren't. My sins are so vast, so grievous, that God wanted payment for my sin. And what was the payment? Jesus Christ. God gave his only son, his special beloved son, to pay the price for my sin. But not just that. He went on that cross. He suffered the indignity, the pain of being on that cross, to pay the price for my sin, for your sin. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So it wasn't just a wee magic wand and all your sins have gone. They cost a lot of money. Free, but not cheap. God's saving grace. Now today we're going to get a wee bit complicated, possibly, because I'm confused. And we're talking about, David just said, that's easy done. God's forgiving grace. Does anyone here need forgiveness? Have you ever sinned?
Yes.
Absolutely. I was reading a wee thing during the week, and it said that 90% of people go to court, when they're asked how they plea, they say, innocent. Isn't that funny? How would the police spend all that time and the lawyers to put somebody in court that's innocent? Strange. Innocent. Now, last week we made reference to several phrases that we use, very easily, but don't actually make sense. They don't agree with the sort of word of God. This phrase that I'm looking at today is confession is good for the soul. Is that a good expression?
No.
I think it's an excellent expression. Excellent. That's what God wants us to do. Does he not? Or does he not want us to confess our sins?
Yeah,
Thank you, Catherine. It is true. Confession is good for the soul. What is not good for the soul is when we get all of our sins and we put them all in our pockets, don't we? And we keep them there. And what happens but then?
They grow.
They grow. And they fester. And they get smelly and horrible and fungusy. And they start to affect us with bitterness and guilt. Make us feel down. They affect our whole sense of being. But we don't have to be like that, because God has said, confess, because I'm going to forgive them.
Yeah. Amen.
Just one amen. I'm glad you came, David.
Amen.
Thank you, Catherine. Amen. God wants to forgive my sin. God wants to forgive your sin. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at this verse. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Is that a good verse?
Yes.
Do you want to read it with me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much of our unrighteousness will he forgive? How much?
Oh.
That is brilliant, is it not?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to read that verse about 10 times during the course of this sermon. So we'll know it off by heart by the end. What a fantastic verse. I don't feel bad about that at all. But, you know, when we talk about forgiveness, when we talk about sin, we think about guilt. So I'm going to talk about guilt for a wee while. I don't particularly like the word guilt. I like remorse. Now, quite often when you go to a court as well and they're sentencing someone, they'll say, you have shown the right amount of remorse, so we've taken that into consideration. Don't they? Guilt. Remorse. So I am not talking about the kind of guilt of filling our pockets that go all fistery. I'm talking about the initial guilt that we feel. Okay, so don't get confused there. And the reason we feel guilt is because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Are you with me? If you just think, ach, everything's nonchalant, no problem, then the Holy Spirit's not working. But if you sin, the Lord lets you feel guilty for a short time until you do something about it, because the Holy Spirit is pricking your conscience, if you like. Okay? So that's the kind of guilt that we're talking about here. Now, do you remember when David got involved with all of that sin? And he got lots of sin, but he had that affair with Bathsheba. Do you remember? And Nathan said to him, he challenged him. And after Nathan challenged him, David cried out, I have sinned against the Lord. That was him confessing his sin. I've sinned against the Lord. Yes, he had sinned against Bathsheba and her family and the culture and that, da, 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 da. But what was most important was he had sinned against the Lord. Do we realize that? When we're sinning against our God. Wow. And then last week we made reference to the prodigal son, do you remember? And he had been and he enjoyed his life and he did all he had to do and he was going to go back and be one of his dad's servants. And the prodigal son cried out, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. He confessed his sin to his father. And he wasn't expecting what came after that. He wasn't expecting that big hug the big party, the unconditional forgiveness that he got. But you know, that's our God, isn't it? You know, look at each other. It's not that easy to love each other, is it? Let alone forgive each other. But our God wants us to forgive each other. He wants to forgive us unconditionally. No, we've not got there yet, John. Sorry, I get so easily put distracted. I'm sorry. Unconditionally. Now, grace, forgiveness, incredible. Tell me, what do you see as guilt? Tell me that.
Doing wrong.
Is doing wrong guilt? Right, what was that, Alison?
It's a feeling that you have after you've done.
Yes, yes, yes. But tell me, if you're feeling guilt 2 years after you've done that wrong, is that okay?
No.
Okay, so it's initial guilt we're talking about, and we want to get rid of that by confessing our sins, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a young driver, I would be driving along the road and one of these lights would come up in the dashboard. And in those days, I just used to ignore it until the engine blew up or whatever. Yeah. Nowadays, when I'm driving along and one of these lights come up, I pull to the side, I take the manual out, look it up. What does that mean? Well, it means I've got to take it to the garage or I've got to put water in the... whatever, you know? You know what I'm saying? Now, if you want to use that as an analogy, that's what guilt is. It's the Holy Spirit saying, something's wrong in your life. Fix it. And the first call for fixing it is going to God and saying, I give you it, God, forgive me. And you know what? He will. I can guarantee that he will forgive you. So just think of it as a dashboard in your car. I'm feeling guilty. Okay, we better do something about that. Here, it says here, this is another bit of David. I made my sins known to you. I didn't cover up my guilt. I decided to confess them to you. Then you forgave all of my sins. Isn't that lovely? So David confessed all of his sins, and they were all forgiven. Why? Because he did something about it. He confessed, and he was forgiven. Now, we're still going to talk about guilt. Now we're on our first point, okay? This is a test for guilt. Is it? That's God's grace. That's the verse we're going to read in a wee while again. Test, three tests for guilt. The first one, John, is... right. Is guilt God-focused or people-focused? Now, bear with me. Do you understand what it says? Right. So, here, is it false guilt or is it true guilt? False guilt comes as a result of judgment and the suggestion of people. Are you with me? Do you think that's proper guilt? No. True guilt comes as a result of divine relationship. God is trying to convict you. Is that true guilt?
Yes.
So a difference between true guilt and false guilt. Who are we? Who am I trying to please? Don't answer it out loud. Answer it in your brain. What are you saying, Catherine? No, I don't want an answer to that question. But that's a good answer, though, if that's your answer. Are we trying to please God or are we trying to please people? I don't know about you. Have you ever tried to please people? You have, I can tell. I have spent all of my life trying to please people. And you think by the time you get to this age, you'll have stopped and you'll have learned. But you don't, do you? You still go and you try to please Jane and you try to please Johnny, and it becomes an addiction. I want to please everybody. And you know something? It's impossible. And that's false guilt. When we try to atone for our own sins, our own things that we've done in our lives, and it becomes an addiction. You can't do anything unless everybody's happy. It's a horrible situation. So are we trying to please God or people? People-focused or God-focused? I don't know. It just continues. If we try to please people, we're going to burn ourselves out. Right, next point, John. Is the guilt vague or is it specific? Good, lovely, lovely. Yeah, another one. There we go. Guilt, is it specific or vague? So often as a counsellor, as a pastor, people will come and talk to me and they'll say, I feel guilty. I go, okay, what do you feel guilty about? And you know, often they say, I don't know. They just feel they should feel guilty about something. That's a bit vague, isn't it? But it's good when it's specific and you know what you feel guilty about. You can't answer. But what's important and what we need to learn is that while we are feeling guilty, God finds it hard to use us. Do you know that? Because we're heavy burdened. We're going in the wrong direction. We're doing the wrong things. We're going through a dark time. And that's hard for God to use us. Does God dwell in dark places? No. He wants us. Listen to this verse. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Did you hear that? Your God wants to make your life light. He wants to make you free. He wants to liberate you. How does he do that? By forgiving your sins. How do you get forgiven? By confessing all of your sins. But sometimes we say, oh, you know, that sin I did half an hour ago, it's too wee. I'm not going to bother confessing that to God. And it builds up, doesn't it? Or that sin I just did half an hour ago, I do that all the time, so God's going to be tired of forgiving me for that. Forgive. Confess all of your sins. Are you with me? Right, we'll go on to the next one. Is the guilt about rules or relationships? So it's kind of connected to this. Do you think our guilt is connected to rules or relationships? Is it because we broke the rules? Because we broke the Ten Commandments? Because we drove too fast along this road? You know, false guilt is when you are concerned or more concerned about breaking the rules. True guilt is when we're concerned about someone we have hurt or our God that we have hurt. Do you understand the difference? You know, what we do as Christians, you know, as Christians, we are not religious. Do you know that? Religious people who are only follow rules and regulations. We are in a relationship, and that's why we're Christians. So a relationship is first of all between me and God, you and God, and then with each other. Is that not true? So it's all about this relationship. So it's not about breaking the rules. Relationships are more important. But if we have a good relationship, we're then going to obey the rules, aren't we? It follows. Look what it says here. Jesus said this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But if you love me first, not obey my commandments and then you'll learn to love me. No, 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 no. Love me and obey my commandments. Jesus said, how many commandments have we? Jesus said, 2. And they're both about relationship. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Relationships. So if your relationship's right, you're not going to suffer with guilt. Now, just 3 wee points, more bad points about guilt, and then we'll leave that aside. When you just do something bad, next point, you find, John, do you feel ashamed? Do you feel shame? Carry on. There we are. Shame. We cover it up. We pretend it doesn't exist. Because we're shameful of it. We're embarrassed. God doesn't want us to feel shame. God wants us to do something about it. What's the thing he wants us to do? Repent. Confess. Now. Do it. Don't hold on to it to see how it's going to fan out in the future. But do it now. Next quick wee one. Blame. Oh, now I'm sure none of you do this. When you've sinned or you're feeling guilty, do you blame other people? I'm sure you don't. Do you blame other situations? Nah. Do you know, blame has been around since the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis. Do you remember? Remember Adam and Eve were eating of the tree of forbidden fruit? And God comes into the garden and he said, who's been eating all this? And what did Adam say? It was her fault. Passing the buck, blaming somebody else, blaming this, because he didn't just stop there. He said, well, it was her fault, but really, God, it's your fault, because if you hadn't have given me her in the first place, she wouldn't have done it, and therefore I wouldn't have done it, so it's your fault. Oh, my goodness. Did we ever blame other people? Blame other situations? I do. I remember one day, I was driving my new car, I had it about a week, and there was a wee bollard in the street, and I didn't see it, and I drove over it, smashed all the side of my car. And do you know what was the worst thing about that situation? I had nobody to blame. I tried my hardest, but I was in the wrong place. I was driving, making a turn at the wrong place. My fault. But that didn't make it any easier, did it? I wanted someone to blame. No, my fault. Next, last wee bit here is hide. Oh. I remember, I'm sure I've done it lots of times, but one particular time, I was coming out of church and I slipped in the ice. And you know, I can remember like it was yesterday. The first thing I did, before I thought, have I hurt myself, I looked around to say, has anyone seen me? I was so embarrassed. Is that why you feel guilty? Because other people have seen you? Because other people know about it? You know, quite often we say to kids, are you sorry because you were found out, or are you sorry? That's the kind of question we're asking here. God knows when we slip. He knows when we fall. He knows when we sin. Do you want some water, David? Well, there we go. Right, now I'm going to start the sermon. Oh, we've missed that one, but that's okay. That was hide. Right, next one then, John. I'm going to read that verse to you again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you hear that? Just in case you don't, I'm going to read it from a different version. God is faithful and reliable. Isn't that lovely? Faithful and reliable. If we confess our sin, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything that we have ever done wrong. Isn't that a lovely version? From everything we have ever done wrong. God's forgiving grace. And our first point is we need to confess. David, in everything he was doing, he knew that he needed to confess. This is what he said. You listening? God, you know every sin I've committed. Did you hear that? My life is a wide open book before you. Wow. My God sees everything I do. He sees what I do in public. He sees what I do in my own private life. Because my life is like an open book to him. Now at first you might go, oh no. But when you think about it, it's, oh yeah. My God sees everything that's going on in here, on in there. He sees it and he loves me with unconditional love because he forgives me. Wow. But when David said that, God, you know every sin I've committed. My life is a wide open book to you. He had a choice. He could try and cover up, or he could fess up. He could confess. So if God already knows, we can't hide it from him, can we? So we may as well confess it. He already knows. There's a wee advert on the television just now for Gorilla Glue, isn't it? When the man knocks over the ornament and tries to glue it before his wife comes in, so she'll never know. She will know. Women know everything. But God knows everything. Everything. So why try and hide it? Just tell him. Be honest. Confess. Next point, John. Well, we haven't got the phone. What's happened? This is going really well this morning. Next, maybe. No, carry on, carry on. This is a good resume, isn't it? No, we've been there. Okay, I'll carry on. We need to trust in God's forgiveness. And again, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just and wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, he'll forgive us and cleanse us. Listen to this. Draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Come near to God. Confess your sins. He'll forgive you. We don't need to feel guilty. His blood has washed us clean, not only from our sin, but from all of our guilt. Amen. 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 God forgives us. But you know who the biggest problem is? Ourselves. Because we so often don't forgive ourselves, do we? We walk about with that guilt. But God says 100%, I want to forgive you for all your sins and all of your guilt. That's the past, the present, and the future. Is that brilliant? Absolutely brilliant. And you know what we need to do when we are forgiven is move on. Don't dwell in it. Don't go back to it. Don't rake up all that guilt again. God's dealt with it. He's forgiven it. And I am a new being. I've been liberated. I am free from that. And I'm going forward to what he's calling me for next. Are you with me? Do you want that? Do you remember when you, well, you probably don't remember when you were, but do you remember when your kids were learning to walk? Just all of a sudden, one day when they're about a year old, they stand up and go, right, no problem, do they? They stand up, they footer a bit, and they fall over. Then they crawl a wee bit more, they stand up, fall over. They fall over lots of times. Did you ever say to them, you'll never walk? It's the same with God. We fall. We sin. We ask forgiveness. Keep doing it. You'll keep falling. You'll keep sinning. But he'll keep on forgiving. There's no limit in that. Wow. My God loves me. And our last point is this. We need to walk in God's forgiveness. Now, the verse we've been reading all the way through this, I'm going to read to you in context. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. It says here, I am sure of this. You listening? That he who started a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He has started a good work in you, and he's going to continue that until we get to eternity. Amen. He made me. He made you. He wants to use you for his glory. He can't do it if you're laden down with guilt and sin. Confess your sin. Be forgiven. You might be sitting there just saying, ah, that's easy enough for you to say, Chris. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things I've said. You don't know the things I've thought. Do you know what? I don't. But I don't need to. But do you know something even better? God does know. And he still loves you. And he still wants to forgive you. What an amazing God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and all unrighteousness. Committed. I'm sure some of you are sitting here this morning with sins in your back pocket that you did years ago. Take them out and give them to God. I'm not saying go home and go insane contemplating the last 60 years. No. But say to God, is there something in my life that I need to get rid of and give it to him? And I can guarantee, and the word of God will guarantee, that he will forgive and forget these things. Some of us have things in our life and we've been trying to run from them for years. You can't run from them. They're part of your life. Give them to God and he will forgive you. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Seek his forgiveness today. Don't wait another week, another month, another year. Confess your sins to him. I made my sins known to you. We've read this already again. I'm reading it final time. I made my sins known to you. I didn't cover them up. I didn't cover up my guilt. I decided to confess them to you, O Lord. And then you forgave me of all of my sins. That's from Psalm 32, verse 5. I made my sins known to you, God. I didn't cover them up. I decided to confess them to you, O Lord. And then you forgave all of my sins. What an amazing God we have got that forgives me, forgives you of all of your sins. He is faithful and just and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Confess. Know his forgiveness. Lord God, there are things that we have done in our lives that we have hidden. We have tried to hide from ourselves. We have tried to hide from you. There's things that we do regularly that we don't even bother to confess. But Lord God, search our minds, search our hearts, that we will rake out all of these weeds and give them to you, because we know you want to forgive us and cleanse us. Thank you for your living word. Amen. Help us to obey it in every way. Amen.